Lisa is currently the executive director with the Florida Commission for the Transportation Disadvantaged and has served in this position since 2003. The commission is a state agency that is charged with ensuring transportation services are provided to all transportation disadvantaged citizens in the state of Florida. Ms. Bacow has worked with transportation and healthcare issues for a total of 15 years, previously working with a private consulting firm and with the Florida Senate. Ms. Bacow graduated in 1993 with her Bachelor's of Science degree in both criminology and sociology from Florida State University. Please help me and join me in welcoming Ms. Bacow.
Hello, everybody. If I would have known I had two celebrities here, I would have brought my daughter's, Disney autograph book. So I'll have to run up there and get it before I leave. How is everyone doing today? Thank you so much for being here. I'm going to talk something a little bit different that I'm not sure y'all are used to hearing at conferences like this, but I'm going to talk about the paratransit program in the state of Florida. And we serve the transportation disadvantaged individuals in Florida. And who we mean by that are people who have no other way to get to doctor's appointments, employment, training, even banks and Walmart. So that's the program that I run here for Florida. How many people are not from Florida in this room? You're all in the back. Wow. All right. Well, very good. Well, hopefully you'll learn a little bit new things going on here in Florida. I'm going to talk a little bit, and I know I only have about 20 minutes, 15 minutes. Okay. I'm going to talk fast, so tell me to slow down if I need to. I'm going to talk a little bit about our history, the accomplishments that we've done here in Florida, our growth and challenges, which I think the other folks have kind of covered all that, and I think we all know where our challenges are, and a little bit about the federal initiatives that are going on and some recognition that we've received. History. Well, it started way back in 1979, and I guess it started as a simple concept, and we all know what happens when you give the legislature a simple concept. It comes a little more complicated, but basically it started with some of the agency heads discussing a better way to serve their clients. They all had money to get transportation services, to get these folks moving to their programs, whether it be, again, a medical appointment or some type of day treatment program. And they realized they had single vans, one driver picking up one person, going to the same communities, taking them to similar places, and there had to be a better way to get those folks around. So that's how our program started, people saying there's got to be a better way to do this. That's when, in 79, our law became active. It was passed, and that's one of the very first, well, it's the first law to go into place in the United States to require coordination in every county of Florida. North Carolina has an executive order that took place in 79, but we're still the first law that occurred. We do this by using our planning agencies. We require in every single county that it's either the Metropolitan Planning Organization or Regional Planning Council that is charged with overseeing planning services for transportation disadvantaged clients and for those operators that are serving there. Every county has to have something called a community transportation coordinator. That's one designated entity in every county there to make sure all this transportation happens, and they should be aware of all the services in their county and be arranging and helping to provide all of those services. That does not mean that one entity in every county does all the transportation services. In fact, we have about 700 different providers all over the state that have contracts with our community transportation coordinator. Obviously, there's a lot of counties in Florida that are just too big to have one provider. They have to reach out to the community. Of those 700 providers, about 83% are nonprofit or for-profit entities. So, this is our system here, as Ed mentioned. I work for an independent commission, but I am a DOT employee. I'm administratively housed in the Department of Transportation, our offices, but we respond directly to a panel of 7 voting commissioners and 8 non-voting advisors, which Ed is one of our non-voting advisors, does a wonderful job. Thank you, Ed. So I work for that panel of 7 voting, 8 non-voting. We're here to serve the public, and so they're on the top there. We work with each of the CTCs, Community Transportation Coordinators, working with our planners. Every county also has something called a local coordinating board, and that's the local entity there to oversee and provide guidance to our community transportation coordinator. Obviously, we work with the elected officials and to provide services to the public. I'm not going to go through all of this, obviously. The point here, I usually talk about this to communities who do not have any coordinated system. Just to show you, although our legislation passed in 79, it wasn't until 1996 that we had one official community transportation coordinator in every single county. So it's not something that happens overnight. It takes many, many years to get somebody up and running and to get these services worked out within each of the communities. In 1989 was a big year for us. That was when our trust fund was created. And that's also when we became an independent commission. We first started out within the Department of Transportation as an office within the Department of Transportation. And Marion Hart had a lot to do with that program back then. So thank you, Marion, for all your work over the years. In 1989 is when the legislature passed 50 cents on every motor vehicle registration. There are some exemptions, but at the time that raised between about $4 and $5 million. And that's when things really started moving and we could get community transportation coordinators in every county because there were funding, there was something there to the carrot in front of them to get them to sign on to our program. What that funding source does is there's trips that fall between the cracks. And a perfect example is the Medicaid agency will pay for somebody to go to the doctor and get a trip to the doctor, but if that doctor hands them a prescription, the Medicaid agency won't pay for that prescription to get filled. So that's one of the main reasons that funding source was started, and that is for transportation services that no other funding source will pay for. Another big year for us in 90 was when the Department of Transportation agreed that 15% of their block grant could come to us to help with the TD Trust Fund. Obviously, we work very well with DOT, and we appreciate all their support. Thank you. And again, and you'll see a little bit later, in 2002, they also agreed to do $6 million more to our trust fund. We had over a million denials that year before of services that where there was no funding available, so they helped us out in that year as well. One thing here to note, we also, some other innovative ways that we've been able to raise money for our program, $5 off every temporary disabled parking placard. In Florida, they're the little red tags, and if you break a leg, you can get these temporary parking passes. We get $5 off of each one of those passes that's issued in the state of Florida. Something else in 94 was a dollar checkoff, voluntary dollar. Everyone's motor vehicle registration, even though we automatically get $1.50 now off everyone's motor vehicle registration, you can check the dollar and donate another dollar to your community. That goes right back into the county and no administration fees are taken out at all. So that was a way to get the locals to try to increase funding to their community. Then there's just some other things that happened. 2004 was a big year for us. That was when the commission, our office, signed an agreement with the Agency for Healthcare Administration, which is our Medicaid funding source here in Florida, to manage their non-emergency transportation program. We were one of the first in the nation to do that. So our office directly handles all of the Transportation Disadvantaged Trust Fund, which is around $40 million, and then also the Medicaid funding, which is around $68 million. So we coordinate all that funding through one office. Some of our accomplishments. Well, we just recently were 2008 Community Transportation Association of the Year. That's the national organization that that helps to provide support for community transportation. So we're very happy we got that. This is just a little history back in the 70s and 80s and then what we've done today. You can see there's a big difference between access to services. Every county now has public transportation dollars that can be used. We had 9.6 million vehicle miles reported in 86. We've got over 140 million miles. Trips, we're up to 51 million trips. Now, a lot of those trips are not only the door-to-door trips, but the funding agencies can also purchase a bus pass. So we tie into transit that if that individual is near enough to a bus route, can get to the bus route, rather than paying for a door-to-door trip, which, of course, is very expensive, we can buy a bus pass for that individual to use the transit system. So actually, about 25 million trips are on the fixed route system here in Florida, and that's a purchasing agency buying a bus pass for a client to help them get to where they need to go. Local revenue is very key. We have about $373 million in funding total that flows through our systems, and $155 million is local funding. So we have a lot of local support. A lot of that is ADA transportation, which, of course, the fixed route systems are required to provide that transportation. But there's also local governments who just help to support our program and want to buy more trips for their citizens. This is a return on investment study that we just recently got back, and I apologize, the presentation did not print, which, by the way, there's copies of this presentation in the back on the table back there. We just received this. We basically worked with Florida State University and said we want to know what return on investment. I know we've all seen the numbers for transit. To our knowledge, there was not a similar study done for paratransit services, So it came back that for every dollar invested, there's $8.35 returned back to the community. What we looked at, we broke these all out into the five main trips that we provide: medical trips and delaying an emergency room visit, delaying a call at to 911 by getting that person non-emergency transportation services, employment, obviously, getting someone to work. There's obviously return on investment there, education, nutrition, and life-sustaining other. Our life-sustaining other trips in Florida are just those that would not fall into those other categories. So it's to the bank, it's just to shopping, other services like that that we all have to do every month, every week, every day. So those are our return on investment numbers. So we're very glad that they came out as well as they did. This is on our webpage, by the way, if anyone, right on the front page of our webpage, if anyone wants to see the full report. And the Agency for Healthcare Administration, again, which is our Medicaid agency here in Florida, they also did just wanted to make sure that their contract, before they signed the contract with us, that we were indeed cost efficient. They did several different analyses, and you can see here analysis one was based on the total growth rate in Florida and how much money our program saved, $41 million in 1 year, 2002. The other one, they did a county level model, and it showed $22 million. So these were the highest and lowest forms of savings that they showed for our program. We had no input into this study at all, as a matter of fact. We just got the document afterwards. They said, oh, we want a contract with you, and here's why. So we were very happy that this turned out like it did. And again, this is on our webpage as well. Future growth, we all know what's going on. Gas prices are through the roof, and in Florida in particular, we've got currently one in every five Floridians is over the age of 65. By the year 2020, that's estimated to be one in every four. We have the highest proportion of elders of any state. We need to make sure that alternatives are available for them. As you all know, too, everyone is aging in place, and it's wonderful, and you need services there to help those folks stay in their community as long as possible. So that's what we're here to do. Gas prices, we all know what's going on there. Our folks, obviously, with the 140 million miles, we have a gas prices make a big impact on our folks. The last 5 years, we had 3.75 million trips denied due to lack of funding. So we know that's a huge issue for us that we're trying to address. Our tag fee has not been increased since 1994. We'll be going back to the legislature and talking to them this year and seeing if we can get something good. Challenges, we know demand is only increasing. Our systems, again, the door-to-door systems have to be flexible enough to keep up with that. We are approaching other state agencies, asking them if they would like to do the same contract with us to try to coordinate these dollars a little bit more. Federal initiatives, Ed mentioned this earlier, the new coordinating plans that have to be in place through Safety Lou for your $5311, $5316, and $5317 dollars. Fortunately, the state of Florida already had transportation disadvantaged service plans in every community, so we were able to work with the DOT to just do some updates to those plans. But if you are in other states where you don't have something so structured, obviously you've got to get some type of coordinated plan in place to get to pull down those dollars. I'll be happy to provide you our sample plan if you like as well. President Bush in 2004 issued an executive order, which is kind of how that safety flu language was placed into place. Basically, his administration is very supportive of coordinated transportation. It's something that not only saves dollars, but it's a better way for citizens. They don't have to call four or five numbers anymore. They're just calling one number to get all the services that they need. Some recognition that we've received here in Florida, Florida Tax Watch Awards, a couple of those, as well as USDOT gave us the United We Ride Leadership Award back in 2004. And we've also been determined a best practice by U.S. Human Services and USDOT. That's it, 447. Not bad, huh? All right. I think we're going to take questions. I'll sit down. Thank you.
Well, I think you've heard a few themes with speakers today. Certainly partnerships between those involved in highway tolling and those running transit. Partnerships between state, local, and federal governments, partnerships between agencies at the state level and with the local government. You also heard the theme of finance through each of these presentations. These are both the key issues that all of us at state DOTs that are involved in multi-involved